Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And joining us right now in his weekly spot, our good buddy, the great, great Hall of Fame wide receiver, number 88 in your program, the three-time Super Bowl champion. And that, of course, is the playmaker, Michael Irvin. Mike, how are you?
Man, I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys today?
Tremendous.
Super.
Tremendous.
Michael. Super. That's how you set your day when people ask, you know.
Super.
I'm doing well.
Super.
Tremendous and super sets the day that it's going to be a great day.
Hey,
I
got
to make sure. I call it a tremendous
You know,
day.
Mike, I just saw another wide receiver I never heard of for the Jaguars open by 10 yards against my defense. Like I just see another guy like it's not like it's you open by 10 yards or Julio Jones open by 10 yards or Antonio Brown or Beckham or any, DeAndre Hopkins. No, some guy I never heard of, okay, is open by 10 yards against my lousy defense. Your thoughts?
And you know what? It is. You're right. And especially the Jags. The thing is, it's Blake Bortles throwing it. Now, sometimes he'll hit it, sometimes he'll miss it. Sometimes he'll look great, and then sometimes he won't. But from your defensive standpoint, honestly, that's surprising me, too, because I really thought this Jets defense is young. I thought, well, they'll really play well once they get their quarterback, they'll get rolling. And we have seen some lapses and everything, and I'm maybe I'm willing to count all of it because we see it across the board, a lot of places, a lot around the league. Maybe we can count and say, okay, now that first quarter of the season has now become preseason. You know, where everybody, okay, those are the four preseason games.
Mm-hmm.
Now
mm-hmm.
The season really starts right now, and maybe we can get rid of all of these blown assignments. We see blown assignments everywhere over
right,
the league,
right.
All over the league.
Yeah, and, you know, when you said, how are we doing, think about this. The city of New York has to, and the state and Jersey and all that, we have two football teams that are going nowhere.
Two and six so far.
And, you know, with the Giants, it's the same thing as last year. They changed the coach. They changed the offensive line. They drafted Saquon Barkley.
New GM.
They have a new GM, yeah. They changed all that stuff, Michael, and they still can't score.
It blows your mind. It blows my mind, too. And I don't understand how that works that way when you have, like I said before, the best skill set of players in the division. It just blows my mind in understanding how are the Giants not winning football games, especially in an NFC East that's winnable right now. It's very winnable.
And that's what I was going to – that sets me up for my next question. Right now, who do you think is the best team in that division right now, in your division?
I think they're all right there. I would love to say the Redskins because of the record, but we know that's not true. We know that's Fugazi.
Right.
That's Fugazi.
Right, no, I understand.
Right now, if you force me to put my hand on one team, I have to put it on the Philadelphia Eagles right now. As much as that wrenches my neck, the same neck that I broke in Philadelphia.
Yes, I remember that well,
neck
unfortunately.
They stood up and clapped when it got broke.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
As much as it wrenches my neck to say it, I have to be true to the cause and tell you the truth. I would have to lay my hands on Philadelphia. But that goes back to my original point that it's wide open. New York, somehow, some way, it's almost like, just why can't you guys get it together? Why can't we all over? Why can't New York get it together? Why can't Dallas get it together? I'm sick of this right here.
But Michael,
I'm tired of it too. I know you guys are complaining, but we're out here complaining too. This is crazy seeing it, man. It really is crazy. It blows my mind. I still believe the Giants are one of the most talented teams in the NFC East and should be at the top of the NFC East and are dwelling at the bottom over there, which blows my mind.
The thing about that, and I don't mean this as a shot to the Dallas Cowboys at all. I mean, they're 2-2. So obviously they're a game better than the Giants are right now. But I kind of see why they struggle. You can kind of see why they don't have much of a passing offense, because they don't have great weapons. I mean, and Dak hasn't been great. I understand that. But look at the receivers. I think looking at the Cowboys and the talent that they have, it makes more sense than the Giants stuff is mind-boggling, because they have a talent of an offense that should be a hell of a lot better than what they are. The Cowboys, look, Zeke's a great player. We know how good Zeke is. But the offensive line isn't as good as it's been in years past, and they've got no receivers.
I would like to just tell you, I agree with you on that. And I always tell people to get in the business, I say, don't you ever start a comment with, I agree with you. Because once you say, I agree with you, I'm turning my ears off, because I've already heard what you have to say. But the reality is, I have to say I agree with you. I did a Dak Prescott interview last week, and everybody's all over Dak. And I'm like, well, who the hell is he throwing the ball to? Okay, let's be real. You know, you complained to get Dez out of here. Now he's gone, and now you're complaining to bring him back. You know, but he doesn't have – and he's a third-year guy that's forced to carry a team. It's not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. So you understand that. When they needed a big play to win a game, they moved the running back out wide. Dude, Joe, and let me say this to y'all. Oh my God, if I would have been on that team – and they talking about moving the running back out wide to make this play. Oh my God! You think you ain't never seen what I? Oh, I would have been on that sideline. It would have been a tirade. It would have been a tsunami on that sideline. Are you joking? We got a minute and a half left, and you talking about moving a running back out wide to win a game? It would have been a tsunami. I understand with you what you're saying about Dallas not having that ability, but the Giants. It is unacceptable, and more importantly, it's unexplainable why it's that way. It's unexplainable why it is that way with the Giants.
Mm. Talking to the great Michael Irvin, I tell you what, the Bears have been unbelievable. The Khalil Mack trade has transformed the Bears in my mind, and maybe the new coach and all that, what they're doing on offense, but the Khalil Mack trade has transformed the Bears into, I think, a Super Bowl contender. Am I nuts saying that, Michael? I know it's only four games into the season, but am I crazy saying that?
Maybe just a tad. But not crazy in the premise on which you gather to get there. And I think that's where John Gruden fell short. I understand that he's saying, well, we can't pay that kind of money for 10 sacks or 11 sacks a year. I understand that. Whatever he had, because I know he averaged like 10.5 sacks over the first 4 years, so 10, 11 sacks. But what he misread was that was the heartbeat of your locker room. You were not in that locker room. Somebody should have told you this prior to you getting here. That was the heartbeat of your locker room. Now that heartbeat is beating hard in Chicago, and you see it. Everybody now in that locker room has hope. And when everybody, I always tell people this, take it, write it down. All of you that got pen and paper with you right now, write this down. Hope will dictate effort. Hope will dictate effort. If I got much hope, I'm going to give you a lot of effort. If I got no hope, it's human nature that I'm going to pull back on my effort. And that man right there gives them hope, and it has made everybody give more effort, and you're seeing more out of a team. That's why I always tell you, you let me go in the locker room and spend one day. I'll tell you who gives that whole team hope in that locker room, and you'll see it on the field. Mm. If you don't have that guy, then you get lack of effort, a little effort, and I think that's what we're seeing, and we're seeing across the league in a lot of places.
I'm curious, as a player, if you were a member of the Indianapolis Colts, and here you are staring a tie straight in the face, there's 36 seconds left, the situation the Colts faced, 4th and 4 from their own 43-yard line. As a fan, logic tells me, just punt the ball and take the tie. Just take the freaking tie. Don't do anything stupid. And Frank Reich said, no, we want to win. His quote was, we're going for it 10 times out of 10 to try to win. As a player, would you like that, or do you think it's dumb because you basically handed the other team the win, and you took the loss? I mean, he handed the Texans a win with that.
It depends on where my team is. If I'm Minnesota, if I'm the Rams, Kansas City, I punt that ball because I'm out front running, baby. Right. I'm out front running, and I'm playing right now for home field advantage. Right now, all of these, a loss hurts more than a tie. I'm going to take the less pain, and because I know even 26 seconds, if I get this fourth and four, if I make the completion, there's no guarantee that I can get down there to get a field goal try. So I got to go ahead and punt this ball if I'm running the race from out front. But when I'm already in the back, so who cares if I'm in the back already? If I'm 10 spots, right, and I'm number 8, what's the difference between 8 and 10? You still ain't getting a ribbon or a trophy. What's the difference?
Let me tell you right now.
So now I'm trying to change the culture around here and make them expect to win and not just think about winning. I want you to expect to win because we're going for winning every day. That's the mentality I got to get you in, and I don't mind he doing it with Indy. He'd have done that last year with Philly. I would have had an issue with it, but not here with Indy.
You know what? Let me tell you right now. If that was my team, and my team is like under, you can't even see my team. You talk about being in the back. They're like under the bus, okay? You know, we talk about the Jets, obviously. If that happened, and my coach, who I already have big problems with to begin with, if my coach did that in that situation and didn't take the tie, I'd be delirious. No, Mike, I would be delirious if he did that. I'm delirious. And my team isn't – you can't even see my team. You know what I mean? Forget about being in the back, 8 out of 10.
But look what you're saying, though. Look what you're saying. You're saying, I'm so hungry for a tie. I will take a tie over anything. He's saying that hunger is not good enough. It's not good enough, man. I don't want you hungry for a tie. I want you desperate for the win. That's the only way we're going to get the Super Bowls is if you're desperate for a win, not hungry for a tie. That's what he's saying. And at that level, he has to change the mentality over there. I got no issue with that.
All right.
You got to get in that locker room.
Right.
They're going to accomplish what their mind say they can accomplish. And if they believe they can win deep down, they got a shot. And he has to change that mentality.
Hey,
and that's what I see him trying
to do. I'll give you this. They go out and they beat the Patriots tomorrow night. Maybe we look back at that and say the gamble was the reason.
They better
that's
not.
The
I,
case,
got I got the Pats in a knockout pool.
No, yeah.
I don't win tomorrow.
Don't worry. I said it was a good gamble, but I still won't pick them tomorrow night.
No, I'm sure you're not.
So are you fully convinced? And see, you're a smart one, Michael, because
this is kind of investment that doesn't pay. If you don't get the return on or the return of your investment until down the road, it won't come four days later.
I got you. You were great last week about this because some people want to bury the Patriots. Look, I want to bury the Patriots, I can't do it until they're worthy of being buried. I think they sent a little message to the league last week, kind of reminding people, hey, the AFC is still the Patriots Invitational, all right? We're still the team, as they sent the message to the Dolphins.
Yeah, sent the message and said, prepared to send a message here tomorrow night, another message that we're even better than you saw last week. Because now, we've added talent to our system.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm going to do a piece tomorrow. I'll show the people why Josh Gordon is so important. And I'll show those slant routes that Josh Gordon ran the other day. You know, on the football team, he called a couple slant routes that Tom Brady threw to him. And on the other side, he threw a slant route to Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson, 6'3", 225 also, just like Josh Gordon, about 6'3", 225, 230. And Cordarrelle Patterson did not want anything to do with that slant route. The dude tipped the ball went up in there, should have gotten intercepted. But that beast Gordon, he eats slant routes. You see, Cordarrelle Patterson, just like Brandon Cooks, all them guys, they want to play up the field on the deep ball. You got to be able to play man ball. Man ball is in the middle of the field. And when Tom Brady gets control of the middle of the field, everybody is in trouble. They used a run up the middle of the field to beat Miami. Now they're going to get back the passing game up the middle of the field with Josh Gordon running slant routes and Julian Edelman coming back working the middle of the field. I'm ready to go so far as to say Josh Gordon gives them added dimensions even more than Randy Moss gave them Josh Gordon can't moss people like Randy Moss. Randy Moss is the best in the world at that. No doubt about it, man. He mossed people. But Josh Gordon will boss people running across the middle of the field, and Randy Moss will not boss people quite like Josh Gordon does, and that's exactly where Tom Brady plays best.
Mm. Are the is Patrick Mahomes for real? I mean, is he as good as we have seen through the first four games?
Boy, I'm telling you, it is amazing watching that kid and watching what Andy Reid is doing with the kid. That play the other night where Von Miller chased him down, he switched that ball over his left hand and got that ball off, that was incredible. It was an incredible play to make. And he's done all of this without throwing not any interceptions.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling to see. And what happens is our mind starts pondering and wondering on, wow, what if this kid continues to get better? If he continues to get better, oh my God, this could be scary. But it is. He's for real, man. I mean, he is absolutely for real. And somebody else was saying this, and I have to mention it because it was funny to me. Said, you know, remember all the stuff we heard when Alex Smith left San Francisco and the Kaepernick situation? It was like almost as if Alex felt he was still the right dude for that job. He knew the Cap was not as good as he was, wouldn't be around as long as he is, and all of that stuff. He hadn't heard a word since he left Kansas City. It's almost like he saw this beast in back of him and said, let me get my butt out of here.
Right. That's a good point.
How concerned would you be about the Steelers, and especially next 2 weeks? They got to face some pretty good offenses in Atlanta and Cincinnati. Defensively, they've had their issues. They're 1-2-1. What do you feel about the Steelers right now?
Hey, where are all the people that said that Connor kid, and he did, he ran well the first game, and said, boy, look like they'll be okay without him. Yeah. Look like they'll be okay without him. Now they're about 31st in rushing, 14, 15 yards a game. now all things are changing, you know. They're all changing. We'll do a question tomorrow about the loser of that Pittsburgh game, and are they out of the playoffs, you know. And to be honest with you, that Pittsburgh-Atlanta game, I think even if both of the teams added another loss, they're still not out of it. It's not a runaway in either one of those divisions, so they still have a shot. Pittsburgh still has a shot, and that's the point. That's why when Le'Veon Bell said he'll be in, I guess in week seven, Pittsburgh now has to set their sights on and stop acting like it's not a reality. Okay. Can we try to hold this thing together for two more weeks until Le'Veon Bell comes back? See, if they say that, it's admitting they made a bad decision with the contract situation. So they won't say it, but that's what they're privately thinking right now. Mm. Okay, can we try to hold this thing? Can we get 1-1 over these next two games and then get Le'Veon Bell back and try to make a stretch run? Because we see now more than we saw then that we do need him badly.
In the game of the week to me this week is Jacksonville going into Kansas City. The great offense against the great defense. How do you see that game playing out, Mike?
It's amazing. Not that I bet.
Well, you can
job.
Bet now. It's legal to bet now.
Well, I'm just want to just get that out.
No, don't bet. We understand.
But my job is to understand all that's going on, and I see they can't see this -3.5.
Yeah,
-3.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I bet.
You were all over that. You were 3.5. I think the number's 3.5, Mike.
-3. And those people, they're pretty smart people. And what they're saying is home field, because that's what you give home field, is the sway in this game. That's how closely this game is going to be played. And what's interesting to me is you can't tell me that Jacksonville is not sitting there saying, what, we just exercised the demon called Patriots and finally beating them? And you think we're going to let you guys come in here and take us out? We've been waiting for this spot forever, and I love it. I'm leaning towards wherever this game was played, I would be leaning towards that team. And this game is in Kansas City. Now, the thing about it, though, when you're playing away, that crowd disturbs defense less than it disturbs offense. And that defense, this is going to be a great game because of the scheme that Andy Reid put together with the talent that Jaguars have. It's going to be fascinating to watch. But I'm leaning towards what that line is leaning towards.
I could ask this question every week. Which of the horrible calls by officials was the most horrible call?
There's always a good one.
This past weekend.
My God. Now, I'll give you the game that it was in, and it was certainly the Oakland Browns game.
Wow, they had a ton of bad calls in that game.
It wasn't the first down, even though there's no way they should have overturned that first down. It was that fumble. It was the fumble. It was like, wait a minute. Whoa, you call in the grass? The ball was the first thing he hit.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, I brought that up too.
Right.
It was awful. It was the worst call the entire
weekend.
Are
you joking?
Yep.
He wasn't in the – he didn't wrap him up. The first thing that got knocked out was the ball before he even touched the quarterback. And they just – all he saw was a sea of color around the quarterback and blew the whistle because he's trying to protect the quarterback. And that lends – to my anger towards all of the mess that we're paying these guys $40 million a year and we're playing flag football with them. You know, what you call him, tackled Patrick Mahomes the other night, Von Miller? He laid him down on the floor like he laid him down on the carpet like he was rocking a baby to sleep. Oh, there you go. There you go. We don't want to hurt you now. You got a bottle? You okay? Get comfortable. Tuck them in. He tucked them in. Pat Mahomes got up and said, "Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate that nightcap. So what is this? What is this? In the old days, Jimmy Johnson would say, "I want you to hit him." In the old days, Al Davis would say, "The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard, because that's going to affect the rest of the game." Maybe if he didn't lay him in that little crib so sweet and nicely, maybe if he could have hit him like we hit in football, maybe that little left-hand throw would have been off. I don't know. They would have had some accumulating effects. I don't know, but I would have liked to have seen the quarterback go through a full football game. So, yeah, that blows my mind, man, what we're seeing from the quarterback position, from the refs trying to protect the quarterback.
Yeah, no, it's painful. I mean, there's really no other way to say it, Mike. I mean, it makes me crazy when I watch this kind of stuff. Because where's it going? Seriously, Mike, where is it going? 10 years from now, what's the rule going to be with a quarterback? What are you going to touch him and he's down? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I'm truly believing. I'm serious too, and I know we joke, but we're going to put three flags on him, one on each side and one in the back, and it's almost like we're playing tackle all over the field. But flag with the quarterback. It's amazing, man.
Terrible.
And if I'm Cleveland, oh my God, I'm so upset. If I'm Baker Mayfield, you messed with my legacy. I could have been. I think we had 2-26, first round, first picks in the draft, winning their first game to start. 2-26. Baker Mayfield had a chance to add to that, be the third one, and certainly putting up 42 points. And you guys blew those calls and blew that game for him. I thought that was mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know what else is terrible, Mike? Is that the U against Florida State is like not even on the screen anymore. Isn't that terrible?
That's crazy, man.
Think about that.
You're absolutely right. I was thinking about that as I was watching some of the things that people are talking about and games that are coming up this weekend and Notre Dame and all those games.
Yeah.
That's what, man. This minus four. This was the biggest game in our country years ago. It was the biggest game.
Yep.
It was everything.
Yep.
It was everything, and now it's not even on the radar. People aren't talking about it that much. So that is mind blowing to me. And that's sad. And that's not necessarily on us. That's on Florida State right now.
Yeah, no, they're bad. No, I understand.
I just want to state that I know you know, and I know, and I know you know, I know. But we got to make sure our job is to make sure they know out there that's listening.
Yeah,
that's not on Miami. Totally, Miami's still not what we used to be.
But
that Florida State thing, that thing looks hard right now.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. Don't have to worry about wide right anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It didn't even get down to wide right.
Right.
they would love wide right now. Yeah, that means that we're in the game.
Yeah. You know? Good point, Mike. It's always a pleasure, man.
Thank you, Michael.
It's always great talking to you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Great.
The
playmate.
Great man. Oh, my God.
A Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He has some good ones today, including, all right, go to sleep now. Going to put you down. Going to tuck you in.
Oh, it's painful.
Get the quarterback. Very good.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.